Three Peeps in a Podcast.
Hello and welcome to Three Peeps in a Podcast. It's been an unprecedented time for the hospitality industry in the last three, almost 4 months now. On this podcast, we've had chats to pub landlords. We've covered our state-of-the-art restaurant in Bristol, where we often would record because we're based down in the harbour side. But we're coming, I say cautiously, coming out the other side now with July the 4th announcement that restaurants are starting to reopen. And we are a Bristol podcast, but as listeners will know, we are based in Emerson's Green. So we do try and get local businesses on. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by Costas from Cafe Avenue, or is it Avenue Cafe?
Yeah. Avenue Cafe, but Cafe Avenue is good too, yeah.
Yeah, so thanks for joining us, Costas. Before we get into Avenue Cafe and the history behind that, let's talk a bit about yourself. So you've told me just before we started recording that you're from a Greek descent, is that correct? Tell me about how you made it into the UK. Were you born here?
I'm second generation, so I was born here, born in London originally, but I've spent most of my life in Bristol, so I class myself as Bristolian, local, of Greek Cypriot origin, and my parents come from a catering background. My dad's had restaurants in Bristol, for a number of years, obviously not recently, because I think that seems to have fizzled out now. Your
really?
Sort of homegrown Cypriot restaurants are few and far between these days. But back in the days when, there were quite a few Greek Cypriot restaurants, Italian, Chinese, you know, those were the sort of mainstay restaurants, I guess. And then as world travel progressed and, more flavours came into the scene. So we've got quite a vast and vivid food culture now in the UK and locally.
Yeah, absolutely. So when did you sort of get into it, and how did you get into restaurant? Was it just sort of passed down through the generations and something that you wanted to carry on and have your own restaurant, or did you take some courses at college, university? How did you get into it?
Yeah, no, when I sort of left school, I finished at A-levels and I went to work basically in a finance company for a number of years. And my dad was expanding in the restaurant industry at the time. He had a small restaurant on Cotton Hill, Zorba's, and he expanded that into a sort of larger premises where there was live Greek music and dancing. So it was quite a sort of entertaining venue. And it was at that point that I kind of entered the hospitality industry. I started off sort of washing up on a weekend, during school, that kind of thing. And then when my dad was expanding, it was an opportunity then to sort of come on board with him. And we basically ran that restaurant for about 10 years as a family entity. So that was kind of the first stage of
your first foray into the restaurant game, and then I guess you decided to start up yourself, and that was the birth of your restaurant.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, after after that, I kind of had a nightclub for a short period for a couple of years.
Ah, so tell us about the nightclub. Where was that, and what was it called?
Yes, so that was on Park Row, where the restaurant was, in fact. And basically, we decided, after 10 years to kind of try something different. So we turned it into a nightclub, Enigma Nightclub. That's what it was called. And it was very popular for a couple of years, but we decided that, late hours, I had a young family at the time, and you kind of thought, well, what am I doing? It was kind of, the restaurant industry was sort of, late enough. And that was back in the day. I mean, we're talking sort of, mid-80s to mid-90s when we had Zorba's, the restaurant. And, That was before late licenses were a common thing. So it was one of the few places you could go to and be entertained until 2 in the morning.
Right.
So we, you know, then sort of venturing into the nightclub industry was kind of a different thing with a young family. So, you know, after a couple of years, we decided to, you know, to do something else. And I guess that was at the time of the first cafe culture explosion, sort of late 90s, early to 2000s. So I researched it for a little while, went to various exhibitions and, you know, sort of pieced it together. The Avenue Cafe was born in 2000 down at Queen Square originally.
Okay. So whereabouts on Queen Square was that? What's there now? Because I'm quite familiar.
It would have been on the Bristol Bridge side. So Welshback, running along Welshback, sort of halfway along where the Welshback gym is, basically.
Okay.
opposite the gym on a corner. It's changed hands a couple of times since we sold it. It's now Spicer and Cole, another sort of local fast growing, cafe. We had 10 very, very fruitful years there, a very enjoyable time. And, as I said, you know, we also expanded sort of early on into Henley's on the High Street, And being sort of family orientated, my sister looked after that when I was down at Queen Square. And shortly afterwards, we opened in Emerson's Green. So my wife was looking after that one. So we had a sort of key person in each one.
Yeah. Where did the name come from?
Well, because on Queen Square, I say Queen Square, it was actually Queen Square Avenue. So it was a little side road off of Queen Square. Hence Avenue Cafe.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
And we had a little sort of grab and go place on Baldwin Street as well, just a sort of smaller version, but just more for sort of office takeaway, that kind of thing.
Okay. So when you opened up in Emerson's Green, did you, you still had the Henleys and you still had the Queen Square?
Yeah, we did originally, yes. So, those came along sort of 2003, 2004 consecutively. Henley's and Emerson's Green. So we had Queen Square till about 2010, and then sort of just concentrated on the other couple of places. And then my sister wanted to sort of go to Cyprus. In fact, she kind of fancied a bit of sunshine and met somebody and had a family over there, so we decided to sell that one. Basically made, because we live locally to Emerson's Green, we decided to make Emerson's Green our sort of main focal business.
Mm. So that was 2000 and... So, did you open up in Emerson's Green, the first one?
So, 2003 originally.
Okay,
And then we moved across only sort of about 2.5 years ago to larger premises, still in the same sort of block of businesses, but just a few doors along, basically.
Yeah, so 2003, I guess, you know, the housing estate that I'm on, over on the other side of the Beefeater roundabout, if you like.
Yeah.
I think they were only built in sort of 2000, so you must have been relatively sort of new to the party with everyone else.
Pretty much. I think Emerson's Green at that point was only a few years old, you know, sort of single years. Mm. So we kind of came along fairly early on, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So we've had a presence in Emerson's Green for, you know,
pretty much
since it
existed.
Yeah.
it's great. There's you had that first plot, if you want to call it, if the restaurant, and it was what, 3 or 4 years ago that you expanded and you moved across to the other side of that little inlet, and it's that big place now.
That's right. So that would have been sort of we opened at the end of 2017. So it's almost just over 2.5 years, coming up to 3 years.
Brilliant. Yeah. And it's for me, it's a perfect distance for a lovely summer's evening for us to walk up, you know, babysitter allowing, walk up and have a lovely meal with the bifold doors open. It is such a lovely setting you've got in there. You've clearly invested in the look and feel of the place.
Yeah, it's very current. I mean, for a sort of suburban localized cafe, it is probably a lot more than you would expect in that kind of area. So, you know, we felt that rather than people having to travel further afield for something nice, you know, let's keep it local. And we kind of, you know, as you said, splashed out a little bit. It was a considerable investment, but it's very popular. Obviously, the reason that you stated, you know, people can walk there. It's very accessible on your doorstep. And as you said, you know, a nice summer's evening on the patio with the doors open. It's a nice local place to visit.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very different menu by day and by night, isn't it? You started doing the sort of the bistro meals during the evening in the last few summers, but your footfall during the day is a coffee shop with for lunches, yeah, as well. But tell us about the sort of the two different versions of
yeah, restaurant. So we felt that you know, obviously the daytime activity sort of speaks for itself, and we just wanted to sort of change the mood on an evening, I guess, you know, dim the lights and sort of have a nice, as you say, sort of bistro style menu. So a nice selection of starters, mains and desserts, you know, with a nice selection of wines, some cocktails. Obviously gin has become rather popular in the last few years. So, you know, summer's evenings, you know, with a nice gin and tonic and a nice, you know, sort of convivial meal, is just what's needed. Yeah.
Perfect. And so in terms of the actual running of the restaurant, is it yourself and your wife that run it? How does that work? What's the staffing?
Yeah, so we own, but we also physically work in the cafe ourselves as well. And we have a you know, fantastic team of staff that have been with us for, you know, quite a number of years, you know, across the different sites. And we've kind of amalgamated, you know, into the present site. But yeah, a lot of our staff are long-standing members of staff, and you know, very creative, very loyal, very welcoming. And I think that's what's kind of, you know, together with providing sort of good food and drinks, you know, the service and the personality of the staff, I think, is what's made it as popular as it is today.
Yeah, certainly got that friendly, family-friendly feel when I've been in the past. You can clearly see that yourself and your wife and your staff really care about what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think also coming from a restaurant background, let's say, you know, we were a bit more particular about providing, you know, the service.
Yeah.
You know, which perhaps not every sort of independent cafe, you know, can offer, or it varies to different degrees, I guess. But I think also we've, you know, we, you know, as I said, we, you know, the staff give a lot towards that as well in terms of their personality. And, you know, we thought it was going to be a little bit difficult moving from a small venue to a big venue. Will we retain that kind of, you know, cozy, family friendly kind of feeling? But, you know, given the popularity of it, I think we've mastered the task, you know, yeah. And sort of it works very well. You know, sometimes it's a bit too busy for certain people, and, you know, I can't apologize for being popular.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah, you can't yeah, apologize for that.
But it can get a little bit, you know, I know where some people are coming from. It can be a bit too busy sometimes for those that just want you know, a little bit more of a leisurely kind, yeah, of sure, activity, yeah.
But you've got that nice, you've got the decor inside is fantastic, and you've got that nice big TV screen is always a focal point for me as a tech person, and yeah, I always like to see what sort of playing on that.
Yeah, I think it kind of just sets the scene, really. It's more of a mood thing in the background. We don't have the sound on too often because it kind of conflicts with the chatter that's going on in the cafe. But, you know, having it sort of subliminally in the background, a bit of black and white movie or an old classic movie, it just catches the eye and sort,
yeah,
of
really works.
Yeah,
absolutely. So let's talk about the dreaded 2020. So coming into sort of January, February, you couldn't have foreseen what we're in now. And tell us about how that impacted you and your sort of immediate thoughts coming into March.
Yeah, I think that's it, really. We didn't really have a great deal of time to kind of get to grips with it because, you know, the severity of it, I guess, didn't really unfold until we kind of hit that kind of lockdown period. And then you thought, well, hang on, this is serious. So, you know, I think once we got to that point, then, you know, there's a lot of anxiety in terms of, you know, well, you know, where's it going to leave us, the staff, the business itself, you know, will we get through this? And as the assistance started to unfold from, you know, from government, obviously, you know, we could then sort of put measures in place to sort of safeguard and protect the business and, you know, sort of go into hibernation, as it were, ready to sort of, you know, come out the other end. Yeah, but
so how's lockdown treated you, who someone who is you know, constantly on their feet sorting out their own business, how have you adapted?
Yeah, I think initially it was difficult to relax, but I think once you know, a few weeks in, once we managed to, as I say, sort of put the structure in place to kind of protect the business and get the assistance that was offered, we could then relax a little bit. Obviously we had fantastic weather, so that kind of helped in terms of, you know, calming people down, you know, and just kind of reflecting, I guess, in terms of how hustle and bustle, how busy life was prior to that, in a sense, and certainly made us realize what's important in life in terms of, you know, slowing down, catching up with ourselves, and you know, and health and family are kind of ultimately the most important things, and not forgetting how, you know, so many people's lives have been affected in a negative way, you know, where coronavirus has really affected, you know, those that have obviously contracted it, and the results and the family difficulties, yeah, as a result. It's frightening, really. So, you know, you also feel a little bit guilty in terms of, you know, you're worrying about business, you're worrying about, you know, what you're doing tomorrow, kind of thing, when, you know, others are really fighting for survival, fighting for their lives.
Absolutely. Yeah, very well put.
But, yeah, but I think we, you know, we're at this stage now where we're kind of, you know, on the horizon, there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And I guess, you know, throughout this whole period, we've just tried to sort of stay engaged with our customers. You know, we've had lots of things going on in terms of communicating through our social media channels and email, sending out recipes. We've had a bake-off competition, which was hugely successful. And it just helps to sort of remind people that we're still there. And
keeps the brand out there, doesn't it?
Yeah, and keep that community feel and the community sort of spirit going as well. I mean, some people were kind of, you know, messaging us back saying that, you know, they were looking forward to, you know, the next email or the next recipe, and you know, just to sort of help them get through this difficult period as well. So for us, it's we kind of kept in touch as much as possible, and ready for kind of coming out the other end.
So talk to us about the 4th of July. Is that the date you're actually going to reopen? Are you fully booked yet? Or
yeah, well, we the last couple of weeks in particular, we've been kind of you know, repainting from top to bottom. We've been deep cleaning in the kitchen and the general areas. So we've done as much as we can in terms of maintenance and getting things fresh and you know, ready. But I guess, you know, what we've tried to do is, you know, obviously following the guidelines and trying to sort of put a plan together as to how we can reopen safely and obviously sort of still make the business work. So we've set up our store. We've kind of got all the tables, you know, measured everything and sort of taken some tables out, spread everything out. So, you know, we have reduced our capacity by about 50%, but it's still, given that we're quite a large venue, it does mean that we can spread things out and kind of, still have an effective number of seats to make the business viable, but also to keep our staff and customers safe at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of a reopening on the 4th of July, is there a booking system in place, or is it rock up and chance your luck? Or
yeah, I think we find that booking system isn't the most effective way for us. I think it works better for restaurants whereby there's a higher spend per person, so they can sort of afford to leave a table reserved, let's say, not in use, and sort of book people in. But I think when you're talking sort of with us, where we're used to sort of fast and furious, you know, given that that's going to be vastly reduced. I think if we book tables and hold them up for too long, it's not the best management of the tables, or we're not getting the best use.
Yeah,
so
sure.
it will be, you know, sort of turn up, but we, you know, we're calling it a sort of greet and seat system. So
Greek, you know, and seat.
Well, Greek and seat. Yeah, it could be. so yeah, I mean, we're obviously going to have, we've got a canopy outside. We're going to have a sort of gazebo in case of, obviously we can't guarantee the weather if people are going to have to wait outside or wait to be seated. At least that way we can get the best use out of the tables, actually sort of guiding people to the right size table for their, you know, the number of people, yeah, that they are. And just sort of, yeah, you know, sort of explaining the new rules, I guess, you know, following one-way systems and, you know, entering the building through the front, but leaving through.
You almost need to do exit, like an airline style safety demo on your Facebook, yeah, on day one, and just say, right, if you could take a seat now, just watch this video.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the left and
yeah, before you go into, like, you know, paintball or air hop or something like that, you have to sit down and watch the safety video, you know.
Yeah.
One of those things. But are you reopening the evening bistro effect as well, or is it, well, just the daytime at the moment?
Not initially. I mean, we were operating that sort of on a weekend, sort of Friday and Saturday, and you know, we also offer the venue as for private hire as well, sort of birthdays and anniversaries. So unfortunately, we've cancelled, you know, for obvious reasons. You know, you can't have mass gatherings. So, you know, we've cancelled and postponed and rebooked, you know, those kind of events. And excuse me. Unfortunately, the same goes for our sort of general bistro evenings as well. Until we kind of, you know, get used to the new normal.
You need to find your feet a bit, don't you?
Yes, yeah. And when things perhaps get a bit more relaxed and we can make, you know, have sufficient numbers to make those evenings viable, then at the moment we'll have to just put them on hold and see where we end up. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. In terms of the the actual food that you do sell during the day, is it something that you've determined, and after your sort of years of experience, what works? Is there anything, yeah, that you've put in your own spin, or?
Well, I would say, I mean, we kind of, you know, it's largely the same menu that we started out with, but over the years, you know, certain dishes have changed or morphed, or, you know, you've added a different variation, that kind of thing. But we also predominantly work with a specials board, which kind of rotates. That's what gives you the sort of creativity and the ability to kind of, you know, throw different things in the mix, let's say. Yeah. And then when we moved across to the current site, that was kind of a more of a major revamp of the menu, and we added, you know, lots of new things as well, and just kind of gave it a bit of a zingy refresh, I guess. Yeah.
Fantastic, brilliant. Well, I do look forward to seeing you reopening, and look more forward to the bistro nights coming back, because you know, the daytime, you know, actually, well, I'll be working from home a lot more probably for the rest of the year, so I'll be able to come in the daytime as well. But it's the bistro evenings that I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
we can walk up and, you know, just have a nice evening, as if you're, you know, not, as you say, in a suburban area. It really is like, you know, going to a town restaurant, if you like. And we really have enjoyed that for the past few summers, and always pick up your vouchers that you do for £30, for £20 is always a great deal. Yeah, no, it is. And I think, yeah, you, on your Facebook page, you're always saying that they're running out. So I guess you've got some people that actually probably bought those, so they're still waiting to...
Yeah, of course, yeah, because, you know, I think the last time we were offering those was before Christmas, I guess. Yeah, they were sort of, you know, Christmas fillers, stocking fillers, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So, you know, people didn't really get, you know, they only had a couple of months to sort of start using them. And you know, I dare say, I mean, they don't expire, so, you know, that's not a problem. And they don't have to be used all in one go. We keep a, you know, a tally of what people spend, so they can be spent sort of gradually. But yeah, I think the first step is let's get back up and running again, and then people can come and start sort of utilizing them. And And we will bring back the evenings as soon as it's kind of, you know, reasonably possible, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Find your feet and then see what you can offer thereafter. But Kostas, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a real insight into a restaurant that I've been interested in for a number of years now. So I wish you every success with the reopening, and stay safe. Take care.
Thank you very much. And the same to you as well. And look forward to seeing you when possible. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.